Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series, Looking at the Wisdom of James. And today's message looks at the surprising link between wisdom and faith. Our speaker today is Brett Klemmer, President and CEO of Man in the Mirror.
So, hey guys, great to be with you this morning. We are in this series on the wisdom of James. So if you got a Bible, turn to James. So find Hebrews. It's the big book right before James, if you aren't familiar with it yet. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 8 this morning. We're going to be talking about wisdom. So I was trying to think of like stories about wisdom. And so the story I came up with was actually a story about a fool. So you all know this story. There was an emperor that lived in a kingdom, and these two merchants came, and they were shysters. They were con men. And so they convinced the emperor that they could make him clothes out of thread that only wise and good people could see. And so that appealed to the emperor's vanity, and so he paid these men a large sum of money to make him clothes that were only visible to wise and good people. And as they wove the cloth on the loom, the emperor could not see the clothes. So he just didn't want to say anything because he would have revealed himself to be not wise or good. And so he got the men said they were done with the suit of clothing, and they pantomimed dressing him. And, you know, he went into his court, and all the court counselors were around, and they're like, these are my new clothes that only wise and good people can see. And of course, none of them wanted to admit that they were not wise or good, and so they didn't mention that they could, you know, see his junk. And so then he did a procession through the streets. And all the people said, this is the emperor's new clothes. Only wise and good people can see them. And none of the adults would admit that they couldn't see the clothes. Till finally a little girl said, why is the emperor naked? And everybody realized that the clothes were not real. And you know what the emperor did? He refused to acknowledge it. He just kept the story. The fable goes, he just finished his procession as if nothing was wrong. What a fool, right? What a fool. And how often do we go down a path, a foolish path, that maybe we didn't realize it at first, or maybe it appealed to our vanity, or maybe we just had poor judgment, you know, not intentional, just made a poor decision. And we get down the road, and when we realize our mistake, we don't admit it. We won't admit it. And we take it to the bitter end. Anybody ever done that? Man, I've done that. Just taking a decision to the bitter end because I refused to admit that I had made an unwise choice. I think this is the thing that all of us as men struggle with, is just admitting when we don't know, when we haven't made a good choice, when our judgment's not sound. And this passage from James this morning talks about how we can avoid even getting to that place at all. So Pat mentioned last week that James is sometimes called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And I want to just tell you a little bit more about that, so because I think it'll make you, number one, understand James, the book of James, a little bit better. And number two, I think it'll actually make you like it a little bit better. So what do we mean when we say that James is the Proverbs of the New Testament? Well, how many of you have read Proverbs? All right, so Proverbs is a great book. In fact, we're going to spend some time in it this morning. But Proverbs is what they call wisdom literature. And Proverbs is made up of, anyone? Proverbs, good. So what's a proverb? A proverb can be a saying, okay? Like an adage is a proverb. You know, a stitch in time saves nine. I don't know what that proverb means. I couldn't come up with another one off the top of my head. But a proverb can also be sort of a truth told generally, right? So a general truth is a proverb. So when you read Proverbs, maybe this will make you like Proverbs a little bit better too. When you read Proverbs, it's not narrative. It's not like the Gospels telling a story. And it's not declarative like Paul saying, this is how theology works. This is how life works. This is how we're to treat each other. It's wisdom. It's general wisdom that's generally true and gives you guidance. It's more illumination so that you can understand the world better, so that you can make better decisions. But it's often not precise. For instance, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Are you really supposed to actually sharpen another person? No, it's a metaphor, right? It's a way of looking at, and it's sort of a truism about relationships, that when we are in relationship, there's going to be sparks, there's going to be friction. But if there's also love, then that friction and sparks can generate something better, right? A sharpening of our character, a sharpening of our mind. So this is Proverbs. So now take this and look at James. So James says stuff that some people have a hard time with. Like later on, James says, faith without works is dead. And Paul says, you're saved by faith alone. But James says, faith without works is dead. So are they contradicting each other? No. James is illuminating what Paul said. Faith without works, basically saying it's inauthentic. It's not real faith. How can you have faith? How can you believe in something and then your actions don't demonstrate what you say you believe? That's called hypocrisy. So that's what James is saying. So as we look at this passage and we look at this book, just keep in mind that James's job is not to give you a bunch of do this, don't do that, right? Or believe this, don't believe that. It's more like as you're figuring out what you believe, as you're figuring out how to behave, this will illuminate your decision-making processes. This will illuminate your actions and hopefully give you a more full-orbed belief and faith in God. So that's the approach that James takes, all right? So let's look at James 1:5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this passage. Father, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning as men. Thank you for your word that illuminates our minds and our hearts, that shows us the way that we should go, that helps us know you better. Father, and as we look at this passage this morning, we pray that you would show us the way to wisdom, that you would show us who you are in this passage, why we can ask you for something with confidence. And Lord, I pray that you would bond us together as brothers in Christ, that in our discussion times and in our lives outside of this morning, that we would be an encouragement to each other, and that we would grow stronger together, Lord, as we seek to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're going to start talking, we're going to start right from the first verse. So our first point is that we worship a generous God. How do I know that? Because James says it right here. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives what? Generously. You guys got to wake up a little bit here, all right? There's a lot of half-open eyes looking at me. Who gives generously to all, and listen to this, without reproach. How many of you are afraid to go to God with something because you know you need his help, but you're afraid you're going to get scolded? How many of you are afraid to like go to your boss and say, hey, I need help with this, but you don't because you don't want to appear weak, or you don't want to reveal that you've already gone and made a mistake and now you need help fixing it? But God is not like that. God is generous. He gives without reproach. And so he makes this promise. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So the interesting thing to me about this is that James is using the word generous to describe God. And it's it's really not a, when you, there's this thing that we talk about a lot called the attributes of God. And like, you don't see generous in the list. And the reason is that generous is really composed of a few different things. And then in this context, I want to look at five attributes of God that help us to trust him, that help us to go to him both with confidence, both in confidence in his character, but also confidence in his ability to actually give us the wisdom that we're seeking in the first place. All right? So here now this is not an exhaustive list. We're just gonna go through five of them, and I'm gonna give you a lot of scripture, and I'm just gonna encourage you to write it down. But don't try to turn to all of these, all right? So the first attribute of God that is important is his immutability. Does anybody know what immutability means? Anyone? Say that again. He doesn't change. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So why is that important? Because God's not capricious. He's not whimsical. He doesn't change his mind. He's not like happy with you today and mad at you tomorrow, and you have no idea why. He's not good today and bad tomorrow. Whatever God is always. He does not change. You can have confidence. He's a rock. It's always going to be solid, all right? And so James says this in James 1:17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. How many of you, great is thy faithfulness, there is no shadow of turning with thee. That verse comes from this verse. There is no shadow due to change, no variation or shadow due to change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Whew. Talk about a relief, right? All right, so this is his immutability. Why is this important to have confidence? Well, you can just know that God is always going to be God. He's the same God, and you don't have to worry about him changing. Secondly is his transcendence. So what this means is that he's above us. He's in some ways incomprehensible. He's so big, right? So Isaiah 55, 8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. I inhabit eternity. I dwell in the high and holy place. All right? So he's transcendent, okay? But he's also immanent. So immanence means that he operates within this world. He's not just transcendent. He's not just out there above, beyond our comprehension. But he also operates within our reality. So we don't have a God that's out there. We have a God that's right here. Does that make sense? So Jeremiah 23:23-24 says, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and earth, declares the Lord? So he operates within our world. So if we're going to go to him and ask for wisdom, we're going to a God who's right here with us. He's in our world. All right. Next is his omniscience. So if you're going to go ask somebody a question, it'd be great if you could be confident that he had the answer. And God knows everything. That's what omniscience means. It means all-knowing. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And 1 John 3:20, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. And then finally, you've got a God who's unchanging, who's outside of, you know, above everything, who operates within our sphere, who knows everything. But if he's not good, we're in trouble, right? And so his goodness is the final attribute that I think can give us confidence to go to God and ask him for wisdom. And so back to the verse that we started with, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. God is good. So you've got these five attributes of God, and you've got these 2, 4, 6, 8 Bible verses. Here's my suggestion for you. If you're thinking about doing devotions this week, take one of these attributes every day and just meditate on these scriptures and write down a little bit about how you see that important to you. How does that change your life? The fact that God's unchanging, how does that change your life? You could even go on the internet and you could look up God's immutability, and you'll find lots of verses, not just these two, but lots of verses, and spend some time meditating on scripture and think about the attributes of God this week and see if that doesn't give you confidence as you approach him for wisdom. All right? So we're talking about a generous God. And because he's omniscient, because he's the source of wisdom, you know, what does wisdom mean? What actually is wisdom? What do you think? What is wisdom? Knowledge. What else? Discernment. Good. Anything else?
Understanding.
Fear of the Lord. That's a pretty good list, all right? So Spurgeon said that to know is not to be wise. To know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. All right? So another way of saying this is that wisdom is knowledge applied. Right? Wisdom is knowledge. Like, how many of you have known, like, you know the term, like, absent-minded professor? You know, somebody that's so smart, they're so smart that they're no good, like, on an everyday basis. Like, I hope there's no engineers in the room, but I've known some engineers like that, right? Like, super smart, can't carry a conversation in a bucket, right? Or super smart, but broke. Super smart, but their marriage is, plural, have fallen apart. Super smart, but their kids don't have any respect for them, right? I would say those are great examples of knowledge not equaling wisdom. Because a wise man takes care of his money, a wise man stewards his marriage, a wise man shepherds his kids. And while that's not a guarantee that things are going to go perfectly, it is more likely than not. A wise man, you can look at his life and see how he applies that knowledge. All right? So now, in this passage then, we've talked about God. Who's the other character in this passage? As you look at this passage, who's the other character? Who's the other person in this passage? In this passage, yeah, in this James passage right here. Who's the other person? Yeah, him is the, it's him, but it's us, right? James is talking to us. He's talking about the dispersed Jews, but he's talking about God's people. He's talking to us. And so so let's think about this. Are we immutable? No. Are we dependable like God is? We're undependable. Do we have all knowledge? Are we omniscient? No. We don't have these attributes. Are we good? I mean, we try to be good, but we're not goodness. Like, God is the definition of goodness. We're not good all the time. And so here's the thing. I think a lot of times what a lot of guys get caught up in is God is an insurance policy. Well, if I can't figure it out, then I'll go talk about it. If I get too far over my head, then I'll go talk about it. All right? And so this is the idea of what Proverbs calls a simple man. There's basically three kinds of people in Proverbs. And we're going to go look at Proverbs 1 so you can start turning there. But there's three types of people in Proverbs. Okay? There's the wise man, there's the fool, and then there's the simple man. So the wise man, or the wise person, is the person who follows wisdom, which is personified in the book of Proverbs as a wisdom is a woman that calls out to us. The foolish man is the one that follows folly, which also in Proverbs is personified as a woman who calls us to our destruction, calls us to pleasure, you know, pleasure, things that look good on the outside but turn out to be empty and dark. But the simple one is the simple one that doesn't know what to do. The simple one is trying to decide, am I going to follow wisdom or am I going to follow folly? And so look at Proverbs 1. We're going to read a kind of a long passage. We're going to start with verse 20. And we're going to go all the way to the end of the chapter. So wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. And then listen to verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? I think I had that verse up here. Yeah. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you and I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Now, is this God mocking? No, this is wisdom. This is the concept of wisdom. Mocking you, laughing at you. And you felt that, right? When you made a really dumb mistake and you're just like, oh, this was so stupid. And you like feel like the universe is laughing at you because that was so dumb, it's so obvious. That's wisdom. That's sort of the picture that they're trying. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. It's too late. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel, despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way. They'll bear the consequences. They'll have their fill of their own devices. For the simple, so listen to this, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So do you want to be simple, guys? Because I don't think there's any foolish guys here. I don't think there's guys that are like willfully choosing to go against wisdom, willfully choosing sin. I mean, maybe there's a couple, but you hide it well. But what I see with Christian men is I don't see very many absolutely foolish men. You see them sometimes. What I see is a lot of simple guys. And what makes you simple is that you don't think about it. You don't just sort of do anything beyond what's right in front of you. And so you just sort of take it as it comes. And you're not a California surfer dude, all right? You're not like, oh, dude, whatever, you know, whatever happens, happens, it's the universe. Well, the universe wants to screw you, okay? The universe is, you know, Satan is the principality and the power that we fight against. And if you just like, don't pay attention and take it as it comes, you're going to get slammed. You're going to get hammered. What James is calling us to do, what Proverbs is calling us to do, is to listen to God, to fear the Lord. All right, so what is fear? What is fear of the Lord? Say that again.
Awesome respect.
Awesome respect. That's a great definition right there. Awesome respect. Fear is not like quaking because God is arbitrary, because God's not arbitrary. What is he? He's immutable. He's good. But he's also transcendent and omnipotent. If you're not awesomely respectful, if you don't have a little reverence, if you don't have a little holy fear, you don't know who God is. And yet, what does James say about God? He's generous, especially to his people, especially to those who walk with him. And so you see, Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord, stand by my roads. Sorry, it's an extra word in there. Stand by my roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. All right, this is what the Lord says. Stand by the ancient paths there, where the good way is. The ancient paths is the way of Scripture. Where the good way is, walk in it. You'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. That's the fool. That's the simple, not being diligent. So a generous God will give you wisdom if you ask for it. The question for us is, will you ask for it? And a simple man worships himself. A simple man worships himself, and he becomes a scoffer, and then he becomes foolish, and then he becomes bent on his own destruction. But we, gentlemen, are called to not be simple men, certainly not to be foolish or scoffers. We're called to be men who follow the way of wisdom. And the way of wisdom comes just from asking the Lord for wisdom. All right? So then let's look at the rest of this passage. Because a lot of people spend a lot of time on the second part of this about being double-minded. So let's just talk about that real quick. Let him ask in faith. All right? Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, is James calling you double-minded? No. He's saying a man who doesn't go and ask God because he's unsure of God's goodness and omniscience and generosity, he's going to be out there on his own. He's going to be like a man tossed. You're going to be like being tossed on the waves, because when you're not being diligent, when you're not asking God for wisdom, then what you're doing is you're just sort of going with the flow. And when the storm comes, you're in the storm. Like a wise man sails around the storm. A wise man is ready for the storm. A simple man sort of sees the storm and just figures it's going to be okay. The foolish man sails right into the storm and shakes his fist at God and says, "Is this all you got?" right before the lightning strikes him and the ship sinks. That's the foolish man. All right? So we are called to be wise men. Some of you guys, I've been around guys, and you know, double-minded is a great way to describe a guy who's just, you know, he knows all the right things, but he's not following the way. He won't get on the ancient paths. He won't ask God for help. He just wants to do it on his own. And then, you know, and today he's going this way and tomorrow he's going that way. And he's just unsure and unsteady. And he literally is like a man tossed on the waves. He's undependable. He's not a man of his word typically. Because when he gave you his word, he didn't have all the information that he needed. He wasn't evaluating the knowledge that he had so that he could act wisely. And so he's double-minded. Have you guys known double-minded men? It's a pain, isn't it? It's frustrating to be around double-minded men. So here's our big idea, all right? Here's our big idea. You can be confident in our generous God to give you wisdom whenever you ask. You can be confident in our generous God to give you wisdom whenever you ask. I know it sounds trite sometimes when somebody says, "Well, have you prayed about it?" But really, have you prayed about it? Like, is there any decision in your life that you're making right now that you couldn't use the omniscient, omnipotent, imminent, immutable, good God to give you some advice on? Like, are you that arrogant? Are you that prideful that you wouldn't allow the generous God of the universe, who says, "I will give you wisdom, and all you have to do is ask me for it"? Like, why in the world would you not do that? And why in the world would we not do that? So let's talk about that. What does it take to be a confident man? What is keeping you from asking God for wisdom? Well, you know, one of the biggest things I've seen that keeps men from asking God for wisdom is their past sin. Their past sin. They think, "Well, you know, I'm not good enough to ask God for wisdom. I've done terrible things." But remember that verse we talked about, God's omniscience? 1 John 3:20, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And he knows everything. Jesus did not go to the cross without knowing what he was dying for. He knew every sin that you were going to commit, and he didn't do it anyway. He didn't do it in spite of that. He did it because he loves you so much that he was willing to cover every single one of those sins. If you have past sins that is keeping you from approaching God, that's your problem. That's not God's problem. God already knows about it, and he loves you. And if you are called to follow him, you have to let him forgive you. You have to accept that forgiveness. And if you're struggling with that, then you come talk to me. Go talk to your pastor. talk to a more mature brother who can help you pray through that and work through that and really experience God's forgiveness. I think past sin and pride are probably the two things that keep us from asking God for wisdom more than any. We're either the emperor, very proud of our new clothes, swinging in the wind, acting like nothing's wrong, or we're so guilty that we think, I'm not worth asking God for wisdom. God would never want to give me wisdom because of all the bad things I've done. He already knows. I think there's a third reason that we don't ask God for wisdom. And this is the simple man. I just think it's laziness. I just think we get so used to trusting our own judgment that you could be reading your Bible every day. You could be in a men's group. You could be going to church every Sunday. But those are just little snippets of your week that you cut out to do spiritual things. And the rest of your life is under your own control. And you're not actively pursuing God's guidance and God's wisdom. I hate to say it, but you're just lazy. It's easier to not ask God, you think. Well, it is, actually, because sometimes he's going to tell you things you don't want to hear. But he's good. So you may not want to hear it, but it's going to be exactly what you need. So how do you ask for wisdom then? What are some ways to ask for wisdom? Three easy ones, all right? First, the scriptures, the ancient paths. Go to scripture. There is no question. I'm very confident in this, okay? There is no question, no decision that you will ever have to make, no problem that you will ever come across, that there is not a biblically based principle that will help you act wisely in that situation. So here's the deal though. You can't wait until you need the answer to start looking at the Bible. The Bible's not Google, okay? You can't just like go to the front and type in, you know, verses that will help me decide whether I should buy cryptocurrency, right? It doesn't work that way. You have to know the scriptures. And so that means spending time in it regularly and reading about it. Don't just read the Bible, but read about the Bible. Let other people help you understand the Bible. Okay? So that's the first way. The second way is godly counsel, right? There are guys around you that are smarter than you are. There are guys around you that are wiser than you are. There are guys around you that are more mature in their faith than you are. There are guys around you that have less maturity but more clarity about their walk because they're young and they haven't been polluted by all the worries and cares of the world like you have, right? So look around for godly counsel. But what's the best way or what's the primary way that you cannot forget? And that is just go talk to him. He's imminent. He is around us all the time. You can go to bed. Here's my challenge to you guys. When you go to bed tonight, think through your day. Think about the things that are worrying you, the problems that you're facing, the struggles that you're having, and fall asleep talking to the Lord God Almighty about those problems and asking him for wisdom. And when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that occurs to you, the first problem you've got to solve at work, the first worry about the argument that you're about to have with your wife that you just know is coming because you went to bed angry, whatever that concern is that you wake up with, think, all right, Lord, I really need your wisdom in this situation. Would you show me the way that I should go? Would you tell me what to do? Start and end your day that way. It'll become a habit for you throughout your day. And I think you'll be shocked, honestly, at how a good and generous God will give you the wisdom that you need. All right? Here's the big idea again. You can be confident in our generous God to give the wisdom, to give you wisdom whenever you ask. Let's pray. Lord, would you please pull our hearts to you? Would you help us, Lord, to stand by the ancient paths, to read your word, to seek knowledge, Lord, but to seek to apply that into our lives in the right way that is the way of wisdom. Would you, Lord, help us to say no to folly? Would you help us to not be simple men, not be double-minded men, but Lord, help us to be confident men who trust in a generous God to give us wisdom. whenever we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.